reminds us again in that hymn, says, early let us seek thee, early let us do thy will. That ought to be the heart, that ought to be the desire again of the believer to walk in the will of God. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews 9 and verse 20. We're going to begin reading verse 25. Hebrews 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 25 this morning. Hebrews 9 and verse 25. The Bible says this, nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word this morning. Father, we ask that you would lead us, Lord, as we open your word. I pray that you or your spirit would guide and direct everything that's said and done. Lord, I pray that you would use your word again in our hearts and our lives, Lord, to draw us closer to you, to conform us again to the image of our Son and of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, begins with the Old Testament types and figures of Christ and concludes with the certainty of the Lord's return. It goes from the Old Testament, it goes to the New Testament, and into the future. And as we were speaking again in Sunday school this morning, and speaking of the certainty again of the Lord's return. And again, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice which he made. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Christ doesn't die, doesn't shed his blood. We're still in our sins. But he did die. He did die for our sins. Therefore, there is forgiveness again to all who will believe. In he begins again in verse 1 concerning the Old Testament and the types, the tabernacle and the instruments and everything that points again to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he reveals Christ and the work again that he has done. But if we go down to verse 25, which is where we started reading this morning, we see again, the word as Christ has entered already into the holy place, and not speaking about the tabernacle, but where? To the presence of God. The sacrifice has been made, been offered. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he will soon return. We believe that. We believe that the Lord is going to return soon. And he uses the truth again that we are aware of to turn to the reality, to the truth again of the Lord's return. And how certain is it? How certain is the return of Christ? You want to know how certain it is? It's as certain as the fact that one of these days, if the Lord doesn't return, you're going to die. Every man, from Adam to the person that is born today, the babies that are born today, will all taste death except for who? Enoch and Elijah. And one of these days, I believe that they will. He uses this very truth to point to the coming of Jesus Christ. How certain is it? It's as certain to the fact that you and I will die. I want you to focus here in verse 27 because he uses, again, with this appointment, again, of death. And as it is appointed that a man wants to die. He says then, but after this, the judgment. There's not just one appointment. There's two appointments. How many of you have ever had an appointment with a doctor, a dentist, and because you don't want to go because you know what's going to transpire, you put it off. And you call and say, listen, I want to reschedule this appointment. And so you're able to reschedule, right? Well, our appointment with death is not going to be moved. It's set. It's appointed. It's going to happen. And just as sure as we have an appointment with death, the Bible says, but after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. It's sure. It's going to happen. We looked this morning at a message simply entitled, What Comes After? What comes after? Death is sure. According to the Bible, then comes judgment. And that is what we look at this morning. What comes after? Well, the Bible says that it's judgment. And we're going to look at this judgment this morning. And again, our first point, judgment will come after death. There's no question about it. There's no postponing it. There's no putting it off. And this truth, again, does away with false beliefs, false doctrine, false teaching. By the way, there's much false teaching. You need to be careful. You need to be careful because there's false teaching, and the devil, again, has taken a portion of the Word of God and has created a doctrine that goes contrary to what? To the Word of God. And there are those, again, that have been used to do what? To perpetrate those false doctrines. Oh, no, when you die, then that's it. When you die, that's it. That's the end. No more. No, that's not what the Bible says. That's what man says. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But that's not what the Bible says. My Bible says, and as it is appointed that a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. And this truth does away, again, with the belief of what? Of annihilation. It does away with the belief of reincarnation. Though we don't deal with this much around here, but it's taught. It's out there. That what? That when you die, then you come back, depending on how you lived your life, you're going to come back as a different type of a being. How do they explain when they die and they come back as a snake? Huh? a frog or something like that. A dog. How do you... I don't know why people would continue to follow that type of teaching, but that is a teaching that they've received, and so they continue in it. But judgment will come after death, regardless of man's teaching, regardless of the corruption again and the lies that Satan has perpetrated and has given to others again to continue to put forth. And unfortunately, people have accepted that. They don't want to accept the truth, but they'll accept that. We want us to understand and recognize this morning that this judgment is not a determination of eternal destiny. I've spoken to individuals. I've spoken to individuals that say, well, I'm going to wait. You present to them the gospel, and they say, well, I'm going to wait until I get before God, and then he'll determine where I will spend eternity. Well, the reality is that God has already given to us. God has given to us already his word. And in his word, we find the truth which teaches us, which shows us again how to determine our eternal destiny. The book of John, chapter 3. The book of John, chapter 3, a very familiar passage to us. And we can quote again perhaps these verses, at least one of them. But in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." What determines, again, where you will spend eternity, whether in heaven or in hell? Well, what determines that? It's not your good works. It's not your church membership. It's not your social standing in this world. It's not the good things you've done in this world. What determines your eternal destiny, where you will spend eternity, is what you have done with Jesus Christ. Have you accepted him as Savior, or have you rejected the offer of God that comes through his Son? That will determine. Those that believe will go to heaven. Those that don't believe will go where? To hell for all of eternity, to the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, this isn't me saying, I'm saying it, but I'm getting it from the Word of God. It comes from the Word of God. The Lord has made a way already for us to determine where it is that we will spend eternity. By the way, the Bible says, and the words of Christ, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." No other way to heaven. Again, the lies that the devil perpetrates and people continue to publish. Oh, we're all on the same path, or we're all going to the same place. We're just going to get there a different way. No, you're not. You're not. It's not going to happen. If you do not enter in through Jesus Christ and Him alone, you're not going to enter in. The book of Romans, chapter 10. The book of Romans, chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10. Says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation comes through faith in the finished work of Calvary and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is what determines, or rejecting salvation will determine where individuals spend eternity, where they're at for all of eternity. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us that what? As it is appointed that a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And there's a judgment coming, and that, however, that judgment is not to determine where you will spend eternity. That judgment or that determination has what will be made here. You say, well, I'll make it after I die. You won't make it after you die. It's too late. It's too late by then. There will be no other chance to make that decision if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ. All opportunities are gone. And your eternal destination is determined. The judgment, again, that we see here in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, as well as other places which we will look at this morning. This judgment will be, first of all, according to His word. How will I be judged? What is a judgment about? You know what it's about? It's according to His word. And what I mean by that is that God has given to us His word for a reason, for a purpose. The first reason is to reveal Jesus Christ unto salvation. God has given us His word to reveal Jesus Christ unto salvation. Now, God has revealed Himself to us in His creation. You cannot look at creation, cannot look at the trees, the grass, the birds, the fish, even the snakes and the dogs. You cannot look at all the creation and say it happened through an explosion. It did not happen that way. That is a lie of the devil that continues again to be pushed. But it's a lie. Why? Because they don't want to believe, and they don't want you to believe. They don't want anybody to believe that there is a creator, that there is a God who's a creator of all that's being created. And so we know that there is a God through His creation. But this same God who created all that's been created desired to reveal Himself to you and to me and to mankind through his word. And through his word, he has revealed his son, Jesus Christ, unto salvation. Let's look at some passages here this morning. The book of 1 Corinthians 15, a familiar passage that we've looked at time after time. And it's always good, again, to look back to these passages to reinforce our faith and strengthen us again in our walk and to recognize what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to what? According to the Scriptures." According to the Scriptures. His word. His word is a revelation of his son who came and died for our sins. The book of Hebrews chapter 1. You know and I know that we can go through a myriad of verses as we look at what Christ has done, what God did again in sending his son, and has revealed him now to us through his word unto salvation. Verse 1 of the book of Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." How did you and I learn about salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ? It's through his word. We heard about salvation through the word of God. And we're going to be judged. There are those, again, that are going to be judged for what? For rejecting the word. Rejecting Jesus Christ. Why? Because God was willing to send his son to die on the cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And yet there are those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. For whatever reason, whether it's because of their religion or whether it's because they were just too proud, again, to accept the fact that they were not good enough in and of themselves to get to heaven. And therefore, they've rejected the free gift. Free gift of God through his son. This judgment, again, that we see in the book of Hebrews will be according to his word, will be judged by this word. Again, God gave his word to reveal his son unto salvation. Secondly, God gave his word to lead us unto sanctification. First, salvation. And then sanctification. There's no sense in an unbeliever attempting sanctification without salvation. It doesn't work. That is called reformation. And reformation does not work. What everyone needs is what? Regeneration. We need a new life that comes through Jesus Christ. Reformation, just changing the outside, does nothing for you. You can go to the farm today and pick out the best looking hog and bring it inside and wash it up, put perfume on it, put lipstick on it if you like, put a little bow on its head. And as soon as you let that hog out the door, guess what it's going to do? It's going to find the nearest mud puddle. Why? Because it's a hog. That's what hogs do. You can try and change the outside, but it's going to do nothing because the inside isn't changed. But God gave us his word to lead us unto sanctification. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How are you and I going to be sanctified? Through the word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Sanctification of the word of God has been given to us again unto sanctification. He said judgment will be according to his word. Correct. Correct. We will stand in judgment according to our adherence to his word. What are going to be the charge? What am I going to be questioned about? Or what am I going to, by the way, you're not going to be questioned. It's a sentencing. This is not going to determine guilt. This is going to be a sentence. We're going to be told this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to get. As believers, we understand that it's going to be a rewards judgment. And we'll receive rewards according to what we've done in our bodies, whether it's been good or bad. But what is a standard? The Word of God is a standard. The Word of God is a standard. In the book of Deuteronomy, back in the Old Testament, in chapter 18, which speaks of the prophet, which is a prophecy again concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 19, says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. This is God speaking to Moses about Jesus Christ, who will be the prophet like unto Moses. And God says that whosoever will not hearken unto whose words? Unto my words, whom the prophet who speak shall speak. Did Christ say, whose words does Christ say he was speaking? When he speaks, he's speaking what? The words of the Father. And so God says here that he's going to speak in my name. And if we don't hearken, then guess what? It's going to be required of you. It's going to be required of me. I have responsibilities as a pastor to do what? To pass on to you what the Word of God says. It's not for me to take you by the head and to move you to do what the Word of God says. My responsibility is to tell you what the Word of God says. And then it's up to you. But if you choose not to obey, you're not hurting me. One of these days you will answer to it. You'll stand to it. Why? Because you didn't obey the preacher? No, because you didn't obey the Word of God. The preacher was giving you the Word of God. I want you to look to the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and here's a parable again of the steward and his servants. And we know the context here of it. I'm going to read verse 47 for the sake of time. Bible says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." Here's a parable. Here's a lesson, again, which the Lord is, and it's an earthly story with what? With a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. And he's speaking again about a servant having been given instructions to do the will of the Father. And the servant is given the responsibility to fulfill the will of the master, of his Lord. But when the Lord returns and the master hasn't done what, or the servant hasn't done what the master said, then the Bible says he's going to do what? He's going to receive stripes. I want you to look at the book of John, chapter 12, and verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48, the words of Christ: "He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day." You reject the word of God, you reject what the word of God says, there's going to come a time when you have to, when you will be judged for it. You won't answer to it. It's done. It's finished. There's no, excuse me. No. It's done. You're being sentenced. This is what you did. It's been written down. This is what you did. But this is what you should have done. Or this is what you did, and you shouldn't have done it. Therefore, here's your reward. In the book of Romans, chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says this: "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." You see, we have no excuse. Why? Because God has given to us his word. I didn't know that. My pastor never told me that. My Sunday school teacher never mentioned that. Do you have the Bible? Do you have the Bible? Can you read? We'll answer to that. We'll answer to it. The accounting, this judgment again, will be according to his word. If it's not in the word, if I give you my opinion, if I tell you this is what you ought to do, this is what you need to do, and you say, I'm not going to listen to you, that's fine. That's fine. It's my opinion. If you come to me with a question, I say, I think. Say, Pastor, I don't want you to tell me what you think. Tell me what the Bible says. I want to know what the Word of God says. But if you come to me with a question, and I say, this is what the Word of God says, now, guess what? There's no more excuse. We'll be judged according to what this Word says. Judgment will be according to his word. Judgment will be an accounting of works. As it is appointed in a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. We've seen already that it is not, this is not a determination of eternal destination. This is a judgment that is according to what we have done with the Word of God. So now we see that this judgment will be according, or will be an accounting of works. You have the ledger, the credits and the debits. The credits and the debits. What you should and what you shouldn't do. You have it right there. And this will be according to the works that we do. For the unbeliever, first of all, it'll be, again, concerning the degree of punishment. According to the degree of punishment. The unbeliever that rejects Jesus Christ, the free gift of God, will end up in the lake of fire. But there'll be degrees of punishment. Look at the Bible in the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20. As the Lord is speaking to these places again where they will preach, or where they have preached, or where they have gone to preach the word. Matthew 11, verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Not as severe. Why? Because they didn't see the works that the others saw. They didn't see the works that Chorazin and Bethsaida saw. They didn't see that. But Chorazin and Bethsaida did. And what'd they do? They rejected. And there's a greater, again, degree of punishment for Chorazin and Bethsaida than there will be for Tyre and Sidon. If they had seen the works, and they would have repented, but they didn't get that opportunity. Or they got the opportunity to repent, to hear, but they rejected it anyway. So they'll still receive a punishment, but it won't be as severe. We understand already what the book of Revelation tells us concerning this punishment. Again, how those that reject, those that are not found in the Lamb's book of life will be what? Will be cast into the lake of fire. But they're all going to stand. They'll stand before the great white throne judgment of God. They'll stand. They're going to stand. By the way, they're going to stand. Right now, they don't want to stand. Right now, they don't want to look to God. But one of these days, they will. In fact, the Bible says they're going to bend the knee. And they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. But to the believer, we won't be at the great white throne judgment, but we will be at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, for rewards. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to answer for what? To what we have done, the works that we have done, whether good or bad. And the standard is the Word of God. Have we been obedient? Have we disobeyed? Have we walked in the spirit or have we walked in the flesh? Have we done our work for God or have we done it to please man? First Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I believe most of us are familiar with this passage. In verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that's going to be the reward that we will receive. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You're going to go in smoking. Why? Everything that you did is going to be burned up. Why? Because it's wood, hay, and stubble. We did it in the flesh. We did it to please man. We followed man instead of God. Wood, hay, stubble. We're told in the Bible that the just shall live by faith. All that is not of faith is sin. The life that we live ought to be a life of faith. And when it is not a life of faith, when we live it in the flesh, it's all wood, hay, stubble. It's going to burn up. Oh, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to have no reward. A life of faith is rewarded by what? By gold, silver and precious stones. Those, again, are the materials that what? That endure. They endure. Our work, again, ought to be done in faith. We ought to be desirous of serving the Lord, of pleasing the Lord, walking in the Spirit. Why? Because if we don't, then we will have no reward. By the way, that reward is not something that you're going to keep. It is a reward that you will lay at the Savior's feet. And when you come and you be stand before the Lord, he died for your sins. He's good. He made provision for you while you were on earth. And now you have a home in heaven. And I have nothing to give to you, Lord. You come in with your garments smoking. That's all I have. Well, at least I made it with nothing for the Lord. I don't know. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Again, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Somebody wrote this. I don't know who wrote it, but I liked it, so So I copied it, and I'm going to give it to you. It is possible to have a saved soul and a wasted life. And that will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know who wrote it, but it's true. You can be saved, but have a wasted life. Waste it. Just waste it. Say, man, I can't believe the law. Say, well, what about the believer that gets saved and doesn't obey God? Huh? What about that? What about the believer that's going to be in heaven and no reward? Nothing to say, Lord, I did this. You know, nothing at all. And you, there, again, we're standing there, and here it is. This is what you get. No appeal. No argument. This is all I have. You ever think about Revelation? Where the Bible says that the Lord will wipe the tears from their eyes. You wonder why? You wonder why he's going to have to wipe the tears from our eyes? Could it be? Could it be because we have no reward? Our life has just been lived for self. For me. And everything that I've done has been done just simply to get the accolades of man. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. What comes after? What comes after ought to change how we lived before. What comes after ought to dictate how we live before. Because what comes after death is judgment. Father, we